1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Lori Vallow-Daybell is not a lawyer, but she chose to represent herself, claiming self-defense in the death of her estranged husband. CBS's Matt Piper with the verdict.
Jurors deliberated for a total of 3 hours over 2 days before coming to their verdict.
We, the jury, duly impaneled and sworn in the above entitled action, upon our oaths, do find the defendant, Lori Daybell, guilty.
The guilty verdict against Lori Vallow-Daybell means she faces another life sentence after she was already convicted in Idaho of killing her two youngest children and a romantic rival. Prosecutors say in this trial in Arizona, she was trying to collect money from the life insurance policy of her estranged husband, Charles Vallow. Lori Vallow-Daybell represented herself at trial. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Disappointing first quarter earnings report for Tesla. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
Lower sales led to a 20% drop in revenues. Add in some other expenses, and Tesla's bottom line earnings were off 71% from a year ago. In addition to controversy surrounding CEO Elon Musk, Tesla has an aging fleet, more competition, and has been spending money to try to develop new products.
Elon Musk says he's going to put more focus on Tesla starting next month. The FDA is asking the food industry to stop using synthetic food dyes found in many items on supermarket shelves, and they plan to phase out 8 petroleum-based colors. FDA head Marty McCarry.
Taking petroleum-based food dyes out of the food supply is not a silver bullet that will instantly make America's children healthy, but it is one important step.
Remembrances are being held this week for Pope Francis. CBS's Seth Doan.
Cardinals in their red cap or zucchetto. Conspicuous even on the streets of Rome. Today was the first in a series of secret meetings they'll hold with the direction of the church at stake. We saw the opening prayer, but little else, only learning that Pope Francis's funeral was set for Saturday.
After recent statements that he could fire the head of the U.S. Central Bank, President Trump now says he has no intention of firing Fed Chair Jerome Powell, but
I would like to see him be a little more active in terms of his idea to lower interest rates. This is a perfect time to lower interest rates.
CBS's Katrina Kaufman has the latest on the case of Columbia University activist Mahmoud Khalil, whose request for a temporary release from a detention to be held with to be with his wife as she gave birth was denied.
Tomorrow, his lawyers have a deadline for filing for relief. So this could be they could try asking for asylum, for example, or withholding of removal, a way to keep him in this country and not have him deported yet.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers lose in San Francisco. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the crew losing 5-2 to the Giants. Pat Murphy critical on how the Brewers infield played at Oracle Park.
We didn't play good defense. We dropped the ball. We mishandled a couple other ones, and we're slow turning balls that, you know, Durbin's throw from third to second was up, and not conducive to turning double play. Hoskins dropping the ball at first. Joey bobbling a ball that was a double play.
NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard will play tonight when they face the Pacers in game 2 of their playoff series. Lillard back after suffering a blood clot in his calf muscle last month.
One of my closest cousins in 2021 had a blood clot in his calf, man. Didn't know, you know, during COVID they couldn't get him in because it was, you know, everything was on Zoom. And he ended up having a pulmonary embolism and dying. So obviously that's the first thing that comes to mind. And, you know, I'm just happy to be on the other side of it.
That's Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I identify with that film, in which there is an implicit reference to St. Francis. Those are the words of Pope Francis, who passed away last Monday at the age of 88. The Pope was referring to the film La Strada by Federico Fellini, which was his favorite. As it turns out, he was quite the cinema buff. The Pope said in an interview about 10 years ago he was always a fan of movies dating back to his childhood in South America, adding that he owes his love for the big screen to his parents for taking him to the theater at an early age. Pope Francis said he identified with the teachings of St. Francis of Assisi due to the themes of love and suffering. Probably no surprise, that was the inspiration for his chosen papal name. Video game adaptations are alive and well, and it seems they will be with us for a long time, or until they run out of video games to adapt. Universal Studios is jumping into said world and teaming up with director Michael Bay and producer Sydney Sweeney to bring OutRun to the big screen. There is no cast attached yet, as the project is in the early stages of development. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, lows in the upper 30s to 40. And mainly sunny for tomorrow, highs upper 60s. Another chance of rain on Thursday, highs into the low 60s. Drying out for later Friday into Saturday. Right now it's 53.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome three filmmakers from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Toby Jones and Ben Hansen join the show to talk about their film, AJ Goes to the Dog Park, and Mark Evans talks about his film, The Diamond King.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North
News
Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Karagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, well, happy Earth Day, Earth Being.
Yeah, you too there, Earth Dega. Well, every day is Earth Day to us.
That's right. Yeah. Mother Earth. That's right.
Go ahead. Oh, no, you're good. I was just going to say what a beautiful Earth Day it's been here in the Twin Cities. We've been able to have the windows open all day in our house, and it's 68 and sunny. I haven't really seen too many clouds in the sky. I want to shout out my great-grandma and then your grandma, Robert. Her Ho-Chunk name was Blue Sky Woman. Ooh. Got a Jo-Winga. Thanks, great-grandma, for this beautiful weather on Earth Day.
Yeah, let me just switch gears before we get into what's going around Turtle Island here in the Twin Cities. Also, we're going to have Ruth Anna Buffalo on, and we're going to have Minnesota Historical Society on. Our friend, Rita, thank you. And excited to do that. Hey, I just want to throw a little damper on this. We feel sad for Elon Musk and his group, but they're down quarterly 71% in sales. Yeah.
I don't know who's feeling bad about that. It wasn't me.
I don't know. Here, I just gave the I just love that little sound effect.
Yeah, the
don't like that
one
much.
Yeah. Well, I saw something while we're still talking about Earth Day a little bit. There was a great cleanup at Bassett Creek this past Saturday. I saw from their press release that went out this morning. At Bassett Creek, they had over 30 volunteers who collected more than 140 pounds of trash this past Saturday. Get that applause button going.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's one thing I like to do, every spring. But if you're looking for a fun little activity to do on Earth Day, get out and pick up some litter, some garbage. Bring your friends. Wear gloves. Protect yourself from those sharp objects. I think there's also something going on this weekend near Bassett Creek, and this is Dakota Plant Relatives, a discussion with Tanagadon Tawin and the family this coming Saturday, April 26th from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. I think is that Tara Perrin and her family, Blue Hummingbird?
Yes.
Yeah. It's doing great work all over community.
Right. And her store is in downtown St. Paul. So big shout out to her store. Stop in if you want to get some salves or the candles, beading, and all the things. We sold a lot of her stuff at our store over the years, and just a nice. Great community member. And, you know, I found, too, a family friend, too, way back when. I guess Uncle Brad used to give her a hard time, so that was a good one.
Well, what uncle doesn't? But yeah, exactly. You would know about that. That's cool. Yeah, a blue hummingbird woman. But yeah, Tara's also a water protector who's worked to restore water quality and honor the sacred plant nation in the Twin Cities. That event this Saturday, that Dakota Plant Relatives discussion, will be at the Mississippi Watershed Management Organization building, 2522 Marshall Street in Northeast Minneapolis, again, from 11 to 12:30 this Saturday.
Well, you know, this month is... April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition is hosting a powwow honoring survivors. It's a traditional powwow tomorrow, Wednesday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Yeah, this is a cool middle of the week powwow on a Wednesday. Like you said, Robert, Crown Plaza Hotel in Bloomington, Minnesota. That's going to start at 6, and that's this powwow is, the theme behind it is they're calling it Restoring the Sacred Trail of Our Grandmothers, 7 Generations Ending Sexual Violence. 6 p.m. registration, grand entry is going to start at 7 p.m. and they're going to wrap up with the traveling song around 10. But, this powwow will feature, specifically red solidarity shawls with the purple and teal fringes on them to honor survivors of domestic and sexual violence, relatives who have been trafficked or used in prostitution, and those who are missing and murdered across Turtle Island. So a powwow to bring importance to a lot of issues.
Well, that's cool. And tonight, right after the show, I'm running down to the Ordway Center for the Performing Arts for the 37th Annual Minnesota Book Awards Ceremony. And I'll be sitting at the table of Kathy Coates, who did Banish the Ho-Chunk book. And she is up for a possible award, Banished Forever, and a great history about the removal of Ho-Chunk and the history of, you know, the first, really the precursor of the Ku Klux Klan. And they were the Knights of the Forest, and yeah. They removed our people down there from the rich, beautiful land, and, you know, right in the middle of growing season, just took over our farms and our homes and removed us to die, basically, got us on the boat and sent us to Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have Kathy's book right in front of me here. It says, in 1863, after the end of the U.S.-Dakota War, a group of white men in Mankato, Minnesota, formed a secret society, like you said, Robert, the Knights of the Forest, pledging to expel the Ho-Chunk people from the nearby Blue Earth Reservation with the goal of claiming for themselves some of the richest farmland in the world.
Yeah, definitely. Good and book. That hurts because we see some of our land down there, and I know there's a lot of history that we know and people going down there and giving tours over the years that some of these mansions and monies are down there that took over Ho-Chunk land.
Yeah, yeah. So we have our stories here in Minnesota as Ho-Chunk people, and maybe some people don't know them much as well as other stories, but that's definitely one to pick up. That's To Banish Forever, Secret Society, the Ho-Chunk and Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota by Kathy Coates. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm hoping she gets that award. Robert, I know you were working with another Native author recently, and you're going to be doing an event tomorrow at Moon Palace Books.
Yes, Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, Thursday. Yep. Got my days mixed up. I'm like, what day is it?
Easily done here.
Yeah, that's Mary Annette Pember, and her book is Medicine River. It's a story of survival and the legacy of Indian boarding schools, and that's going to be at Moon Palace Books Thursday, April 24th at 6 p.m.
Yeah, I'll be emceeing that, but just introducing and maybe just vetting out questions. So I'm excited to be there and support your local bookstores. Moon Palace is an awesome bookstore, Haley.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have author Mary Annette Pember on the show with us tomorrow. So we'll get a little interview of her talking about the book and kind of the reason why she wrote it.
Yeah, and it'll be excellent. So stay tuned and always check in on Native Roots Radio here on your stations all over Turtle Island. Hoo-wah.
Yeah, I think you can get Mary's book now. That one's called Medicine River.
Dropped today, as a matter of fact.
I think so. Yeah, that's what she was saying. I know we got a minute left here until we go to break and we get Ruth Anna Buffalo on from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. I know that Native Nations Fashion Night presented by Minnesota Fund is this Friday, April 25th, that fashion show from 5 to 11 at the Intercontinental St. Paul Riverfront Great River Ballroom. 11 East Kellogg, get your tickets for that if they haven't sold out already.
Exactly. I heard the really good seats, and I don't know if that's first couple rows or I haven't been to a fashion show before. They are sold out, so there's still seating left, so check it out.
I think this year's theme is Water is Life or Water or something.
Minnie Wachoni. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back with Ruth Anna Buffalo. And we'll be talking about events and what's going on in her life. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the Spoon and Cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Everyone wants to maximize their dollar. If you're looking for a new vehicle, the only place to go is Rudy Luther Toyota. Consumer Reports Best of 2025 edition has the most reliable vehicles as Toyotas. The Toyota Corolla, RAV4, and RAV4 Prime top the list of the most reliable cars. And Toyotas are fuel efficient, meaning less money at the pumps. Consumer Reports Best of Gas Mileage Ranking has the Prius Camry, Corolla Cross Hybrid, RAV4 Hybrid, and the Highlander Hybrid top of their classes. Reliability and fuel efficiency, you'll find them both at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have our friend, CEO and of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis, Ruth Anna Buffalo. How are you doing, Ruth?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you doing?
Oh, doing good. Just in between pickups of the twins. But yeah, doing good.
Awesome. It was good to see you at the play. That was fun that we went and saw you at New Native Theater.
Yeah, yep, for sure. That was pretty awesome. I was proud to be with my friend, my childhood friend that I knew or know since the eighth grade, Shyla Spicer. She's the CEO of the Native American Arts and Culture Foundation that's based out of Portland, Oregon. So she was able to get me in with her. I just tagged along and was able to check out the show before their opening night. And yeah, it was good to see you there.
It's funny, Ruth Anna, do you remember when we were doing the Sunday night symposiums during COVID? You got you know so many people. You got so many guests on that show, that podcast that we did just to check in. I just think all these people you know and went to school with and grew up with.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think it was, you know, it was a 6-week summer camp that we went to, and it was, yeah, I guess you could say it was good networking. I mean, we didn't really think about it like that at the time. It was just wanting to be interested in becoming a medical doctor someday, and it was really an amazing experience, and I still believe that they are still operating today. The Indians into Medicine at University of North Dakota. So it's pretty awesome. Seem to be a part of 6-week summer program. You study physics, chemistry, communications, and then the math class that you're going to take that upcoming fall. And then you do shadowing of like medical professionals and things. So yeah, it's a pretty cool experience, and you meet kids from all over the country.
You knew the doctor, the first woman doctor down in where was Navajo country, wasn't it? Didn't you play basketball with her too? That's something like that.
Yeah, yep, I did. Shelley Tom, she played for ASU, Arizona Sun Devils. But yeah, I used to play with them on an independent ball team, and it was a bunch of Dene women, and I was the only Hidatsa Mandan Apache woman. But yeah, I used to play on their team back in the day. But yeah, along with Shelley, Dr. Shelley Tom, and her parents are amazing jewelry, make beautiful jewelry. And then one of our teammates actually was a teammate of Shelley, Dr. Shelley Tom's, when they were at Arizona, Rennell DeBacenti, and she is inducted into their Hall of Fame there. And she was the first Native woman to play in the WNBA. She played for the Phoenix Mercury. I believe that was back in 98, 99.
Wow. I got to hang out with you more often. Geez, you know everybody. And then Dr. Tuala, I can't think of her last name. She's huge, too. And you played basketball with her and known her for all your life, too.
Oh, yeah. Twyla Baker. Yep. She's our tribal college president. And yeah, we have, you know, our families are connected. We're from the Short Bull descendants. And because we have like, yeah, there's descent like in our family trees. My grandpa on my mom's side of the family, his mom was a daughter of Yellow Wolf, and Yellow Wolf was, you know, along those lineages back home of tribal leaders and things within our tribe and Short Bull descendants. Haven't had a reunion lately, but we're all a part of the Short Bull lineage, I guess you could say, back home at Fort Berthold. But yeah, I know Twyla since we were young, young ladies. So,
well, and her daughter is a singer too. I've heard her. She's been up in the city singing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and beautiful, talented, and yep, just super proud.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, so let's swing in and see what's going on at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. You guys are going to be hosting Kids Night Out here on the 30th.
Yep, on the 30th, Kids Night Out in partnership with lacrosse. And so a lacrosse player. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be fun, hands-on activity, healthy activity, and, you know, cool history behind lacrosse, and it's you know, like where, you know, just the connection to our native peoples. Mm-hmm. Yep, there it is, partner with Dave Butler. So we're looking forward to that. That's April 30th. And I believe this will be the second kids' night out, too. So it's pretty fun. The first one they had, they did a lot of exercises and games in the Ojibwe language. So it was pretty cool, pretty fun. Our kids participated in it as well.
When they talk about lacrosse, a lot of people call it the creator's game.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's cool to follow. I follow those teams out on the East Coast, and pretty cool to see like the men with their big long braids and things, thick braids and stuff. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
I remember when I had thick hair when I was young, but now I'm wondering what the heck. Anything else you'd want to bring up? What's happening on the Avenue, or what's going on with your organization?
Yeah, this Friday. Thank you. Yes, Friday we have our spring market, and that is from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. I believe there will also be Indian taco sale as well. And so, yes, please stop by 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Contact Allison for more information. I believe all of the vendor slots are full, but you never know. There could be some something that comes up last minute, so it's best to just touch base with Allison. There's her email address right there. But yeah, I would love to see everybody, and come stop by and do some Mother's Day shopping for sure. And graduation.
Yeah, definitely. No cakewalk during that, or any playing any pig or anything outside.
Well, thank you. That's a good segue into announcing our open house. Our open house scheduled May 22nd from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. So please stop by our open house May 22nd, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. We may have cakewalk as well. Yeah. And then we also have Ledger Art Workshop that's on the same day, but it'll be in a different space within MIWRC. So we have two events, so it'll be, you know, fun filled packed day at MIWRC.
It'll be 2 days before my 64th birthday too.
Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, I didn't know I would have took better care of myself if I knew I was going to live this long.
Yeah, all those cakewalks you wanted to do.
Those brown dances.
Cakewalk tour. Just kidding. I know some people. They want masquerade powwow tours.
That's funny. Hey, so we got a minute left with you, Ruth Anna. Anything else?
Check our website for updates. Continue to donate if you can. MIWRC.org/donate. Appreciate all the continued support. Ma Zigit Odds. Thank you.
Yeah, we love having you on, Ruth Anna, and appreciate it. I know you are a busy person, work-wise and also family-wise, so we know we're taking you away from that. Both those, and we appreciate you stopping in there. I know our listeners love it when you come on.
Oh, Mods and Gadads, we love you too, and we're thankful for this platform to help get the word out of MIWRC and the, you know, sense of urgency that we're in and this critical juncture of making sure we can keep our doors open and continuing to serve the community the best of our ability. Mods and Gadads, thank you.
Pini Gigi, thank you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week, and we'll see you in the community.
All right. See you.
Wow. Ruth Ann is awesome.
Yeah. I want to shout out their website, too, is miwrc.org.
Yeah.
And they have that donation tab right at the front. Make it easy.
Wow. I'm excited. Cakewalk. Haven't done that since, 1970, maybe 60-something.
70? Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I was born in 1961.
True. It always slips my mind sometimes.
Yeah. What do you think? I was born in 1990?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, we got about a minute left.
Yeah.
We're going to have Rita on up next and see what's going on with Native American initiatives at the Historical Society.
Yeah, just one thing I want to mention too before we get going here on break is the Ho-Chunk Code Talkers Highway dedication is happening this Saturday, and it's going to be in La Crosse from 10 a.m. to 11:15, and that's groundbreaking, and that's just amazing that
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
CBS News Brief. An Arizona jury finds Lori Vallow Daybell guilty of conspiring to kill her estranged husband, Charles Vallow. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson says prosecutors...
They had evidence. They had her brother saying, yeah, I think she did it. I think she conspired to murder her estranged husband. I think all of that was very compelling for the jury.
Doge leader Elon Musk says he'll start focusing more on Tesla after disappointing first quarter earnings report. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
Tesla's automotive revenue is slipping 20% on fewer deliveries of vehicles. Tesla says there is a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace, including global trade policy.
FDA Commissioner Dr. Marty McCarry says they plan to phase out 8 petroleum-based colors from the nation's food supply.
For companies that are currently using petroleum-based red dye, try watermelon juice or beet juice.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers lose in San Francisco. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Crew losing 5-2 to the Giants. Pat Murphy critical on how the Brewers infield played at Oracle Park.
We didn't play good defense. We dropped the ball. We mishandled a couple other ones, and we're slow turning balls that, you know, Durbin's throw from third to second was up and not conducive to turning double play. Hoskins dropping the ball at first. Joey bobbling a ball that was a double play.
NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard will play tonight when they face the Pacers in game 2 of their playoff series. Lillard back after suffering a blood clot in his calf muscle last month.
One of my closest cousins in 2021 had a blood clot in his calf, man. Didn't know, you know, during COVID they couldn't get him in because it was, you know, everything was on Zoom. And he ended up having a pulmonary embolism and dying. So obviously that's the first thing that comes to mind. And, you know, I'm just happy to be on the other side of it.
That's Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Will there ever be a sequel to The Big Lebowski? If Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore had their say, it would be absolutely. Unfortunately, it is the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan, who seem against the idea. The Coen brothers have not made a sequel to any of their work, although Bridges said they do tend to surprise people sometimes. In addition to no sequels, the brothers also have not made a film together since 2018's The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. When he's not trying to sell you his own products like Aviation Gin or Mint, Ryan Reynolds actually makes films. He starred opposite Hugh Jackman in 2024's Deadpool and Wolverine. Recently, Jackman took a good-natured swipe at his pal Reynolds by telling a crowd at Radio City Music Hall that Jackman was curiously left out of a dance scene in the film. Don't worry, there is no awkwardness. Jackman did assure everyone in the crowd they are bros for life. Thank goodness for that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, lows in the upper 30s to 40. And mainly sunny for tomorrow, highs upper 60s. Another chance of rain on Thursday, highs into the low 60s. Drying out for later Friday into Saturday. Right now it's 53.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time at our new time slot, 2 until 4, and Matt Solomon from Cracked.com talking about SNL at 50. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Historical Society, preserving and sharing Minnesota's heritage for the benefit of all Minnesotans.
Of all Minnesotans. Hey, we are here with Rita Arndt, Program and Outreach Manager with Native American Initiatives at the Minnesota Historical Society. Great to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are both of you doing?
Fair to partly cloudy, you know. Hanging in there. No, doing good. It's just, you know, when I get at this age, Rita, naps don't cure my ails. I feel, you know what I mean? Like when I was younger, if I took a nap, I'd be 100%. Now I'm like, oh, that didn't help.
Well, I went outside today and that was nice. It's beautiful out. So that kind of put a pep in my step.
Right on.
It's Earth Day.
Yeah. Happy Earth Day. Cool. Hey, Rita, can you explain your role within the Native American Initiatives programs for our people that are listening maybe for the first time?
Sure. So I work at the Minnesota Historical Society in a department called Native American Initiatives. And my role is Program and Outreach Manager. And essentially, I oversee all of our programs and some of the outreach we do. And one of the programs we have is a Native American Artist in Residence program, which I will be traveling for to Washington State next week. So I'm very excited about that.
Wow.
Mm, wow. I'm going there a week after you.
Wow.
And I just missed you.
I know. We were just talking about that, too, with Dr. Stately. Hey, what can you talk a little bit about the Gale Family Library?
Sure. So at the Minnesota Historical Society, our main location is in downtown St. Paul, right off of Kellogg Boulevard. And there we have a really, really great research library called the Gale Family Library. I don't remember offhand who the Gales were, but what's important here is the stuff that they have available at the library.
Well, they were a family and they were called the Gales.
Yes. And they must have been a great supporter of history. I know I shouldn't be showing my ignorance when it comes to that. But the library is a really great resource for so many ways to access historic materials like photographs, like land records, building records, but also to do genealogy and other things like that, which I am not obsessed, but I highly enjoy looking my genealogy up and knowing more about where my family has come from over all of these years.
Yeah, me too. And I know years past looking at, the library in particular, I've found pictures of me when I marched in the St. Paul Scouts Drum and Bugle Corps in the 70s. And that amazes me that I'm in your library, or the Gale Family Library, I should say.
Yeah. One time I was just showing somebody from community about how to use the library, and I used my mother's maiden name, and I found my great, 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 great grandfather's papers. It's kind of weird. So if you have some long ties in Minnesota, there is likelihood you'll find a family member while researching at the Gale Family Library.
That's crazy. Yeah, I'm sure we have some McKees, some Ho-Chunks down there floating around there somewhere too.
I think so. You mentioned Dr. Stately too. We had Dr. Stately back on. He just returned from Ireland, and he was staying with an Irish family there, and they were from Minnesota. He was talking about how their family came to Minnesota. That would be a good way to a good resource, you know, to see how your family came to Minnesota. Does the Gale Family Library have separate hours from the History Center itself?
Yes, but usually the museum portion is usually open and the library is not. So they are open on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday right now. And if you want to make an appointment, you can. And if you send the librarians their information about what you're trying to do research for, they might be able to prep, because Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to procure some of the materials from the library. We have a gentleman who works in the archives. He drives his forklift around to get some of those old records of from institutions and all kinds of things. And so it can take a minute, but also they can prepare for your visit as well.
Yeah, I remember visiting and you guys had all this Ho-Chunk stuff ready for me. That was amazing. And so that must have been the process, me not being as smart about the Minnesota Historical Society like I am now. I just went down there and I felt really blessed that you guys put all that work into it.
Yeah, we like to help people, and we help the library is no different. The librarians there are really so knowledgeable about so many things. I always use them to help with everything, and they'll help you, like, what are you trying to do? And they'll get you on the right path, which I really find to be really great. I know sometimes it's hard to find our ancestors, especially our Native ancestors, because of their Indigenous names and how they were written down. But they have some resources to help navigate some of those records to be able to find those a little easier.
Right. And I know I've looked up birth certificates to my pilot family, too. And I've saw my grandfather, John Pilot, and I'm named after him, Robert John Pilot. And that's, you know, interesting too, just to, you know, kind of peruse on the website itself.
Yeah, there's a lot of materials on the Gale Family Library, so you don't necessarily have to come to St. Paul, but to really dive deeper and to see some of these materials, usually that are one of a kind, and we are the only ones who have copies of these maps or some of these different texts, especially some of the manuscript materials. There was a lot of missionaries and folks who worked with the tribes over the years who had really good information about our family trees and other things like that, that, and also, you know, some of our lifeways that I think are really important to access and to really think about too, and how we can bring that back to our communities from this person who might have been, you know, hanging out with our relatives years ago.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. We have a listener that Allison, who is lots of interesting source materials there. I was just up there with my daughter. It was fascinating. And there you have it. It's amazing. And, you know, we just love having you on here, and we remind people about Thursday nights and how it's free on in St. Paul on Thursday, and how big a deal that is. And I know our Native community likes free things. Oh,
that is, I mean, yes, but it's also, I think it's a great way for community or any, especially people with families, you know, to come to the History Center for free. There's a lot of exhibits going on. The girlhood exhibit still up. It will be through June. And then we'll have a new exhibit coming in the fall. But they're right now they are showcasing, I already forgot, F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby, because they just, it was the 100-year anniversary for that. And for me, I'm always like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But we have stuff from our collections, even materials that he had as a youth that is out on display so people can visit it. So it was like, if you have a niche, you're going to find something that you'd like at the Historical Society and the library for sure.
Not to go off center here, but on Grand Avenue, I believe it is, that there's a apartment building that F. Scott Fitzgerald lived in, and there's a plaque out there. So you guys that are into that, you can get a selfie with the plaque and the building in the background. Hoa.
I honestly have no idea what you guys are talking about.
The Great Gatsby. Well, I guess it was a movie that just came out, but it was a book in the 20s. Well, 2025 or 1925, obviously, that talked about kind of the rich people in a really snobbish way.
Is he from here or something?
Yeah.
I did not know that. We read that book. And
Gerald. Yeah.
Yeah.
He lived on Grand Avenue.
Yeah, he's from St. Paul. The Fitzgerald Theater is named after him in St. Paul as well. So we have a lot of really cool things. Well, I do have to say it is really, really neat because it was when he was a young author and he wrote this handwritten note in one of the books that we have at the Historical Society. And it's just, it's such a unique thing. So like, that's just an example of the unique things that you could come and see and research at the Historical Society, just things like that. So I always recommend people to come and see, although there is an issue with reading cursive, and some of that older cursive is a little rougher to read, especially when it is there was some Ojibwe language materials in cursive, and let me tell you, that was a doozy, because one, it's in Ojibwe, and then it's in cursive.
Wow, a double whammy for you Gen Zers.
What looks like a 10 or 20 letter word probably looks like a 30 letter word.
Jeez, easy, you two. Hey, I lived across from the Commodore, and I don't know if you know anything about the Commodore Hotel, but that bar is where he drank and did a lot of his writing too. I regress. That's
how did I not put stuff. That together? I can't believe I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, you're young. That's okay. You know.
Yeah, we'll blame it on that, I guess. Can you look up, so if you have like family names and keywords, you can look those up, but can you also look up, like, maybe you wanted to know stuff about Prince or something, like any other famous artist or author from Minnesota?
Oh, 100%. And that, no, honestly, the Prince stuff that we have is, I was just looking at my Facebook memories because of, you know, his anniversary of his passing was yesterday. And we, at the museum, we were getting all of the Prince-related items out because M&H, I was like, this is, we're not even talking about Native things. But you know what, Prince, this is very important for our community.
Prince was cool.
Sorry, guys.
We have one of Prince's Purple Rain costumes that he wore in the movie. Lot of the stuff is on lockdown, like not on lockdown, but he is kept at Paisley Park. But some of the stuff we have some of his handwritten like set lists, all of these things. They've purchased a lot of stuff of like stuff he was selling over the years because he had this weird tambourine thing that he was selling. We have one of those. And we have his perfume. It smells pretty good from what I recall. So that's what it looks like. Things. It's like, yes, I get to work with my cultural patrimony as an Ojibwe woman, but then I get to see Prince's stuff. And then I also get to see all the other cool, you know, First Avenue related music folks who have made an impact at Minnesota. And we collect those things too. So that is a real thing that if you... Yes, be like, I'm here to learn about my grandma, but also Prince.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, I used to go to Glam Slam, and I did video work for Glam Slam, which is a club that Prince owned. And it was funny. I would see him. I'd be 5 feet away from him and didn't even know it because he moved and grooved with his bodyguards in a good way, a secret way. But hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're talking Minnesota history here in Minnesota Historical Society. We're with Rita Arndt, Program and Outreach Manager with Native American Initiatives at the Minnesota Historical Society, and a Prince fan. We'll be right back.
Now showing at MIA, artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on the Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work and see how her art challenges traditional ideas of Native and modern art. Only at MIA and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org.
Summer is fast approaching. How will your teens spend their days? Reconnecting Our Roots is a unique opportunity for Native American teenagers from the Twin Cities area. Students will engage in cultural activities and learn about Native histories rooted through Minnesota Makoche in a welcoming environment. The summer session runs July 14th through the 18th at the Minnesota History Center, and a stipend is available for those who attend each day. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you 2 go-card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! I did not realize this was our last segment. This has flown by.
It's been fun.
Yeah, very fun. Hey, we're here with fun person Rita Arndt, Program and Outreach Manager with Native American Initiatives at the Minnesota Historical Society. And we're talking a little bit about prints, and now we're going to get more sacred and talk about Native Americans and things and things like that.
I was like, prints is pretty important because MNHS did have a book out before. It's called Prints Before the Rain, and it was a photographer, Alan Bolio. So I imagine, I was like, I'm pretty sure he's Native. Saying, we're just connected always, and everybody loves Prince. You can't take Prince away from us. So that
was that the photographer who had the picture of him, like in 76 with the Schmidt music, music notes behind him when he was younger?
Maybe, yeah, it was all from the 70s into right before Purple Rain.
Yeah, Purple Rain really put things on the map here. People that Hollywood came here couldn't believe. And we had a really renaissance of filmmaking after Purple Rain. There was films for the next 10 years that were shot here. It was crazy. Hey, let's talk a little bit too about the library again. Let's talk about that. You know, how can people use your library to access, you know, Indian census rolls? Those are really important too.
Yeah. So what I don't think a lot of people, especially Native folks, understand is that a lot of the majority of our early records are kept at the National Archives. And then they're not as accessible because the closest National Archive space to us is Chicago. So totally not accessible. And I believe most of the Minnesota related tribe records are in Kansas City.
Wow.
However, there was a somebody in the 80s at MNHS who realized the need of having more of the local, when they were agencies, being accessible at the Historical Society. So we have copies of the Indian census rolls for the region available to review at the Historical Society. Some of them are online, and we have some links to be able to look at them online. Some of them are really intense where you literally have to page through page by page. There's no search function, but there are some other ones where you can search through. So it's really cool. It is on microfilm, a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. But microfilm is still highly utilized by research libraries throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember it was microfish, isn't it called?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I remember studying and getting newspaper clippings back in the day. So can you purchase prints and pictures from the Minnesota Historical Society, whether it's a newspaper clipping or... Yes, or I know I have, see this picture in the background of my great-great-grandfather. I got that from the Wisconsin Historical Society.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ways to get copies of things and prints of things. Some folks have even brought in scanners, so that's a way to work. What's really cool with the new microfilm is that you can save the picture onto the computer. And so it's really like a screenshot, essentially, to share some of those records. And I find that really great, too, because then you can keep it in your own folders. Because while some of these, like Ancestry and other places, are really great, Family Search, it's nice to have it as a copy for your own things. So I have my own little folders in my Google Drive. On another one thing I want to mention, if you're at the Gale Family Library, you can access Ancestry for free, and you're able to, you know, there save and print those documents that you find on Ancestry to be able to save it so you can add it to your own records. And I think that's a really valuable tool, because unless you're obsessed with Ancestry, getting a subscription really isn't worth it. So being able to access it at places like the Minnesota Historical Society. Also, shout out to your local public library. Hennepin County Libraries has wonderful resources. But that is a really cool thing too. And we also have access to newspapers.com, which is really fun to look up your relatives every once in a while. So maybe sometimes not good, but sometimes it's really fun. And the military records too, which I think is really great, because I found my grandfather's, both of my grandparents' military, like what ships they were on during World War II. And I think that's just a really cool to see their journey as, you know, when during that time.
Yeah, definitely. I know, there's so many of those polls, those 10-year census too, that you can see the name and the family. And I know they pop up. I don't pay for a subscription for Ancestry, but I'm on it, and I run into some relatives, and then I block some too, but that's another show, another story. but every once in a while it pops up with the census, and you see, you know, like I have a cousin whose name's Nellie, but our great great grandma was named Nellie, and she was named after, and it's just Nellie Houghton. You know, it's just very cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the ancestry thing too, Rita, I asked you a question, I think, like, obviously before the show, because we haven't talked about it yet, but do you have to get like when you're doing the DNA thing, do you have to have already gotten your DNA tested and then coming with those results to look up the research in the library? Because you guys don't do the DNA testing.
No, we're not connected with, like, we don't have the DNA part, but I'm sure you can connect your accounts. I'm pretty sure there's a way to do it. It's just how I access it, because I do have my own Ancestry account versus using the institution. So there's a way to get it together. But I think there is some kind of really strange archival way approach of how to connect those things that I am not as savvy of, that would probably help. So if you need help, Haley, I'm here for you. I will help you. I will get you all set up.
Yeah, Haley.
No, that's such a cool resource.
And when you go down there, Haley, I'd like to make two copies, one for me too. Oh,
yeah.
I have this book from the history of St. Paul before 1876. And it's interesting because I go to the glossary and I look, and they had this story, and I can't remember what the St. Paul paper was called back then, but there was different names. It was the Dispatch, and but there was a Ho-Chunk that murdered another Ho-Chunk in front yard of Summit Avenue. And I was just like, I'd like to read more about that. What's going on here?
Got to find out whose family that was.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, side note, MNHS might have the court documents from that case, because those are some of the records that we also have. And it is about court cases and stuff like that.
So somebody like me, who's a documentary filmmaker, and I'm going to be in 2 months, I'm going to start working on a documentary on adoption, Native adoptions, people coming back and realizing things about their family. But also what we found out, Haley and Rita, is how many people I'm related to in Ho-Chunk, because at one time we had 100,000 citizens, and we were down to 756, I believe, at one time. And so we're all related. It's crazy, you know, whether it's, you know, way, 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 way down, but it's crazy that we're all related. And we mean that in a good way, but also a literal way.
Yeah. And I recognized a lot of those names when I was looking at the Our Home exhibit last time I was at the History Center. Rita, when does that one wrap up?
We don't have a finish date yet, but
you're listening to Bow Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
Maggie Dawn,
It's the first official Drive Time Maggie Dawn show. We kick off the program with Congresswoman Gwen Moore. And stick around, we'll be joined by the CEO of the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Elon Musk says he'll soon take a few steps back from running the Doge task force and dedicate more of his time to running Tesla. It comes after a poor first quarter earnings report. Also, Musk admits that he's no fan of tariffs.
Lower tariffs are generally a good idea, but this decision is fundamentally up to the elected representative of the people, being the president of the United States.
The body of Pope Francis will lie in state for 3 days, starting tomorrow with his funeral on Saturday. CBS's Seth Doan in Rome says then comes the conclave.
Pope Francis really tried to elevate cardinals from different parts of the world, unknown church leaders, and part of that is not knowing how they might vote. So that is the wild card.
President Trump seems to be cooling his heated comments about the chairman of the Federal Reserve. But the president also says Jerome Powell should move quickly.
No, I have no intention of firing him. I would like to see him be a little more active in terms of his idea to lower interest rates.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.